Welcome to the Reggie and Calvin Show, Episode 2.
I'm Calvin.
And I'm Reggie.
Hi, I'm Jay. This is my hetero life mate, Silent Bob.
Okay, so here we are, Episode 2. I think things went fairly well last time. People seemed to be listening and somewhat interested, and a couple of people left us some messages. So we're just going to jump right into our next topics that we said we'd talk about this time. So the first one is going to be TV. So Cal, what you watching?
The only things I watch now are Adult Swim cartoons, and I watch them online at the Fix.
Right, because you got rid of cable.
Yeah.
Do you even have a TV anymore?
I have a TV, but the last thing I used it for was to watch a DVD of a Mitch Hedberg stand-up.
Awesome.
But other than that, I don't play video games, or haven't for the past 2 months, and because I let my Xbox Live account expire.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a waste of money anyway.
Well, it's, if you like playing Halo, it's a good way to, good study break.
Yeah.
Yeah, and good way to frustrate yourself too by getting your ass beat by 12-year-olds who will call me any number of racial slurs.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's the fun of it.
Yep. So then I blow them up with rockets and then and then set my Spartan junk on their face.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yep.
So TV, not video games. Let's talk about Adult Swim.
Yes. What do we want to start with?
You start. Just whichever shows you want to talk about.
Okay. Consistently the best one on Adult Swim. I'm going to pose this. Frisky Dingo.
Yeah. It's been very good this season.
It's hilarious every single week. I thought last week there was kind of a drop off in Metalocalypse. Wasn't quite as funny as the other ones have been so far this year.
A little bit,
but Frisky Dingo more than made up for it.
Yeah.
Just all the scenes with Xander Cruz and the
Exicles.
Yes.
The Exicles. Yeah, yes. I forgot what they're called now.
Oh, crap.
I figured out who Hooper is, though.
Who?
The half-cyborg chick that used to be with Killface in the first season.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely her. I mean, it really is. Like, the voice, it's her. But you can tell by the way she stands, and the fact that her right arm is mechanical. Which,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
and
that's
the
who
fact
it is.
That she still wears an all-white skin-tight suit.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, it's pretty obvious, and we were probably the last ones to figure it out.
Yeah, they just took it like the regular character and put like a helmet on her. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all they did.
The armor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny though that Xander Cruz was reunited with the Exicle that raped him in the first season.
I didn't get to see that episode originally, but I like how he explained it to him. I'm going to glue this on your head, and I'm going to have sex with your face.
Yeah.
You're not over that yet? Raping me? No!
Oh, that's a good show.
Yep.
What about Lucy?
Lucy Daughter-Devil is, it's got a real mellow feel to it.
Yeah.
Which I like. But, yeah. It's pretty cool. I also like how Jesus and the devil are, like, friends in that, and they just hang out all the time.
Yeah, like, it starts out, he wants to fight him. Like, he's going to do something to defeat him, but they realize they have more and more in common, and they spend more and more time together.
Yeah.
Jesus just calls Satan Lucy's dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like how Jesus is dating the devil's daughter.
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome.
But he's not really faithful to her, which I think is even funnier. Like, they talk about it, that they're dating, but he wrote the book. He wrote the book about all the stuff that he does to her, which I think is funny, because in the show, they never actually go over that. They never show them really together outside of, like, where she's setting up a new concert for him, or she's working at the bar and he's DJing.
Yeah.
But he wrote the book that is supposed to be about her and the stuff that they do together. And Lucy got really mad. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Lucy gets really mad because it's a book about what they do together. And And Jesus goes, "No, no, look at the cover. It's definitely not you. She's tall and hot. You are not." Or no, no, I think he says you're tall and she's tall and skinny. You are not. But still, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that book would pretty much be the same thing as the poetry reading from Stu that we went to.
Right.
Oh, this is awkward and uncomfortable.
Oh, I kind of forgot about that, but you just brought it back up.
Yeah, remember those images that were burned in your brain?
Yep, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. We're talking about
over and
we're talking about Adult Swim. We're talking about Adult Swim.
Adult Swim. Adult Swim. Only, always Adult Swim.
Yeah, but those two are good. I'm really happy that Lucy is an actual show now. Instead of just the Halloween special that they show 5 times in a row.
Yeah. Which we would probably watch 5 times in a row because it was funny.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, what's the other one? Boondocks. Boondocks premiered this week.
I liked it.
I did too.
I thought it was, It continued with Aaron Magruder's social commentary on Black America.
Yep, I thought the subject was a little shallower though this time around, but it was still it was a very good portrayal of what he's trying to say.
Yeah,
we've all been in movies. We've all been to movies like that where that happens.
Yeah,
we know what it's like. We've seen it.
Yes, we've experienced it on numerous occasions, and that's why we don't go to the Star anymore.
That's exactly why we don't go to the Star anymore.
The only thing that I didn't like about it was that they made the grandpa, what was his name? Freeman?
Yeah, what's his name? Robert Freeman.
Yeah, Robert Freeman. He'd been a pretty respectable character up until now, and they kind of demonized him for the purpose of the episode.
Yeah, and what they were kind of doing, that's kind of a reference to how that actor is in all those movies. He's the older black man, like he's the father or the grandfather in Soul Plane and the Friday movies. I mean, he's in Friday.
He was awesome in Friday, though. I like that movie a lot.
But that was more kind of like referencing that he's actually in those movies.
Well, he played himself too in that when they were talking about Soul Plane 2 when they showed the preview.
Yeah,
that was him as himself.
Yeah,
as himself in the movie. If that made sense.
No, yeah, I did. You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
So those three are all good, and Metalocalypse is also back.
Yep. Did you watch any of the? Like the interview things that they posted too?
No, I didn't.
They have like it's just like 5 of them sitting backstage, and they're just they're being interviewed, and they have a question about like politics, and they start talking about politics for like 2 minutes, and then they have a clip where they talk about a number of different things, and it's awesome. They have different topics, the fans, and the best one is politics though.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny, and everybody always offends Toki. Like going back and forth and talking about the I can't remember which one's Norwegian and which one's Swedish. I think Toki's Norwegian. So anyway, they're like, in Norway, the one they go through like all these different loopholes and things, and like, yeah, of course there was some times when in Norway the candidate with the best horse wins. And then, like, they go back and forth, and Squizcar's making fun of him. And it finally ends up, like, Toki is, like, throwing back, like, childish remarks at him. And he's like, well, in Sweden, the guy with the worst horse wins. Like,
I think I might have seen that one.
Yeah, and Squizcar's like, actually, that's how it works. That's how it works.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Maybe not as good as the first season, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, they're, it's a lot less focus on like a plot or some kind of story that's going on, and they actually in a 10-minute episode they have the subplot, which is like the whole Metalocalypse thing.
Yeah.
And then like the main thing is just the band talking about nothing.
Whatever crazy thing's happening with the band that week.
Yeah. I love that bit about when Toki quit like a week or 2 weeks ago.
Right, because he wanted, he didn't feel that he was getting enough credit or recognition because he's just the rhythm guitarist.
Yeah. And like, he doesn't really do anything. He only makes the sandwiches. I make the sandwiches. That guy doesn't do dick.
Yeah. Did you get Death Album?
Oh, I didn't yet, no.
Oh, I got it. I had to wait a week because it was really popular, so I guess Amazon kind of sold out and I had to wait, even though I pre-ordered it.
Oh, that's cool. I like how they did that to you.
Yeah, but it's alright. It's really good. I mean, it is just all the songs from the show, but it's still pretty cool. I guess
that was
really...
Go ahead.
No, well, really, they could do an album per season, because every episode has a new song.
Yeah.
So by the time you're done with the season, there you go, put a new CD out.
I was hoping that they would actually release like a full-length Death Clock album, and they'd like extend like the 30-second songs to 3 or 4 minutes or whatever.
Well, they all are. They're all full songs.
Oh. Yeah. But still nothing new?
No.
All stuff from the, oh.
It's nothing new. But it's still good. But it would have been cool if they did like a Blood Ocean album.
Yeah.
Or if they did the, Blood Ocean, that was the one that they played for the whales. No, the Blood Ocean was the movie.
Yeah, Blood Ocean was the movie, and, what was the name of the album they were only going to play for Fish?
I don't remember, but,
they played Fish don't got no good medals to listen to.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, it also was great. I really hope that they get rid of the live action crap that they have on there, because they still show Tom Goes to the Mayor sometimes, and Tim and Eric's awesome show, which is very not awesome, and Bob Odenkirk is very not funny anymore. But they keep showing it.
What's that other one where like the center of the earth or whatever?
Saul of the Mole Men.
Yeah, I tried watching that, and it just annoyed me.
It's trying to be like the old H.R. Puffin stuff kind of shows, only not good at all. But in general,
I don't know. It also has enough of the cartoons that are in new seasons now to carry them. So I don't know why they have the other crap.
Yeah, they haven't been showing it lately though. Sometimes during the week I think they do, but all the new stuff's really good. I'm not so pleased with Robot Chicken this season.
I haven't even been watching.
You haven't watched that? It's just
not since the Star Wars episode.
Yeah, the Star Wars episode is awesome, but the new season just is not the same. It just doesn't have it. It just is really nasty. Like there's no thought to it anymore. It's really crude. I mean, there have been a couple that have been really funny, but most of it is just, like, children's shows going on killing sprees and raping sprees. That's really not funny. I mean, like, say it like that, okay, you laugh, but watching the show, it's just not good. It's really not. They did do a really funny segment, though, where it was Sonic the Hedgehog, and they put a spike strip down for him. And when he hit it, he just kind of exploded and splattered all over. That was really good. And I think that's all that's new on Adult Swim, right? Is that everything?
Yeah, that's all I watch.
Yeah, I think that's all there is. Overall, it's good stuff. I like it. It's good times.
Hey.
Cool.
All right, here's the deal. We have to do our own shopping so we can make our own dinner like our regular jackoffs do. Now you're all in charge of putting together one dish. And don't just buy booze. That ain't food.
What do you mean booze ain't food? I'd rather chop off my ding-dong than admit that.
You'd rather chop off your ding-dong than not drink?
Yeah!
Wow-wee!
What have you been watching, Reg?
I've been watching a lot of new stuff, which I find very surprising because most of what I've been watching is actually good. And I'm pretty surprised that there's actually things that are good on TV right now. You know, actual, real TV shows. Like comedies and dramas, where there's actors and people speak to each other in a way that has been determined for them. I like that. I mean, that's what I watch TV for. So, I guess the most important thing that I'm watching now is Heroes, because I started watching that a couple weeks before the new season started, because I started hearing things about the second season that sounded really awesome, mostly time traveling back to feudal Japan and George Takei. And yes, those things do relate to each other, which makes it even cooler. So I got the DVDs, I Netflixed them, and I was just completely blown away by how amazing that show is. I didn't really think it was going to be, because it's on network TV, so how can network TV really have a good science fiction show? And the way they advertised it and promoted it, it seemed a little, like, soap opera-like. Like, they didn't really, they were too busy making it look like it was always the relationships, you know, they're superheroes, but they have problems, and not in a good way, not like in a Marvel way. But it turns out, it actually is in a Marvel way, and the relationship stuff isn't really overdone. It all fits together, all the characters' lives, like, flow together, and the show is incredible. It's really dark. There's a villain that is not emo and actually kills people.
Ooh.
And, like, they really push the limits, I think, with what they show, like, what they can get away with showing as far as gore and violence. Not that that really means anything anymore on TV, but I was really impressed that how far they took it. And the fact that it is such a popular show, that there's still people actually watching it once they realized, you know, what it's about and how complex the storyline is. And the season is definitely not disappointed. It's even more complicated and twisty.
Cool.
So I really like that. But Monday nights on NBC, I think the whole night is pretty good. The first show is Chuck. It's about a computer repair guy working at a electronics store. And he ends up with a CIA computer in his head. Like, his friend that he went to college with is a rogue agent, and he steals his computer. And right as he's, like, getting killed, because they catch him and shoot him, he emails the contents of the computer's hard drive to Chuck. And Chuck opens the email, and he sees, like, this video of all the CIA's secrets. And subliminally, it's all in his head. Like, it's in his head now. So it's a little science fiction-y there, because obviously that's not possible. But what it means is that now there's a CIA agent and an NSA agent who don't get along, but they're protecting Chuck and have to take him on missions, because all he needs to do is, like, see a person or see an object, and he knows, like, he knows where it is or who it is. He knows if they're good or bad, or, like, how to, if it's a bomb and where it's going to be planted. But it's a comedy. Like, it's an action comedy. So the action is really over the top and ridiculous. But it's a good comedy, like, between Chuck and his family and his best friend. And it's really well done. I'm pretty happy with it. I think it's pretty good. And then after Heroes, at 10 o'clock, is Journeyman, which is kind of like Quantum Leap. You know, guy travels through time and whatnot. But he can't control it. He doesn't have a choice. Like, things just happen. Just out of nowhere, he says, oh, I'm back in 1989. And he has to do something. He has to fix something, and he hasn't really figured it out yet. And that's pretty good. But one of the problems I have with it is they're doing that thing where they leave plot holes just so you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, they just leave information out, and then something happens, and you're like, oh, what? You know, it's not quite... The storyline doesn't flow quite as well as it should.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah, instead of writing something ahead of time, they just leave a blank space, and they're like, we'll figure that out later. And then people think we're building
it,
and we fill it in.
Pretty much. It's what Battlestar Galactica did with the miniseries, the premiere miniseries, which I hated so much. They just left gaps so that they tried to pass off things as being, like, twists and cliffhangers, but they really weren't, because there was no, like, sense to them. There was no build-up to them. There was no... There's nothing that really suggested that that's the track that they were on. They just sort of, like, slapped you in the face with it. And you're left more thinking, like, what? But still, Journeyman is pretty good. It's very good, I think.
Cool.
It's got the guy from Rome. The guy that played Varinus.
Yeah.
And I guess he was also in Trainspotting.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the second season of Rome?
I have not. I guess a lot of people didn't think it was this good, and it's kind of done now.
Oh. It was a good concept, but the show, the first season, had some definite problems with it.
The fact that they wanted to turn too much of it into just porn.
Yeah. Instead of spending our money on showing the pivotal battles that made Caesar great,
yeah,
let's
right.
just show porn.
Yeah, that made for some fun TV moments watching with your parents.
Yeah. Sitting around watching Rome with Dad, and we're like, oh, that's awkward. And then right when the, what was it?
Caesar's niece.
Caesar's niece is thinking about that Caesar's old lover and pleasuring herself. Mom walks in and goes, anybody want apple pie? What? What? No?
Yeah, that was, that was one of our better moments, I think. TV moments.
Yeah, that was funny. Mom even started referring to that show as The Naked People.
Yeah.
Are you guys watching The Naked People again? Yep.
Well, how many episodes just started with Polo just in a brothel, just going to town on like three whores at once?
Yeah.
Quite a few.
Yeah. I like the that one part when there are a couple good ones with Polo and Brainus when
he was explaining how to please his wife, right?
Yeah.
How do you know this of her?
How do you know this of her? <It's just> like he thought it was like specific of his wife.
He was gonna slit his throat. He was gonna slit like pull his knife out, I think.
That was awesome. I also like the part where Brainus asks Polo if he's ever had sex with a woman without having to pay her or rape her. And I'm pretty sure he hadn't.
Yeah, he had to think about it. Yeah. Like, I don't think he had an answer. Yeah, that was a good summer though when we watched that show and then Extras.
Yeah, the first season of Extras too.
Yeah, I know the second season of that is out. I got to put that in my Netflix too because I'd really like to see that because that first season was really funny.
Yeah, and I heard good things about the second season too. Had a couple friends that watched.
Yeah,
it.
They had even bigger stars in it.
Cool, and so. Probably a lot more not British stars.
I don't know, because it's still a British show, really.
Yeah, well, they had Ben Stiller on
but I think
the first
they had,
season.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they also had...
I think Samuel L. Jackson was going to be on.
Oh.
Which would have been hilarious. It's a good show.
Hey.
But yeah, another really good show that's on right now, that just started, new show, is Pushing Daisies on ABC. And again, that's another one of those things, like, how could it be a good show on network TV? Not only network TV, but ABC.
Yeah.
And as we know, ABC is bad for America. We all know this. It's true. I may have to go into more detail on that on a later show. Might be an interesting topic, but it is. ABC is bad for America. But Pushing Daisies is fantastic. The style that it's done in, it's like a fairy tale, but if Tim Burton did it, so it's kind of darkly funny. Like, people get killed in very funny ways. And then they have to kind of, like, figure out who killed them. Because the main character, he can bring people back to life, but only for a minute without there being consequences. So it's like, back to life, I can talk to you for a minute, then I have to kill you again. Like, he just touches them once and they're back to life. If he ever touches them again, they die again. So somehow, a private investigator finds out that he can do this. And they go into business together, where they go to the morgue, and he brings the guy back to life and says, do you know who killed you? And then the guy tells him, or gives him some kind of clue. The way it's worked out for the show, all they can get out is like a clue that leads them into an adventure that's very funny. And then in the end, they find out who killed the guy and collect the money for solving the crime.
Hmm.
But there's a lot of fairy tale references to it. Like, the main character is a pie maker. So he's a pieman. And there's some things that are really obvious. There's a narrator, and it's actually good narration, but sometimes they kind of spell things out too much for you. Like, we really don't need to be constantly reminded that this is, like, Prince Charming and one of the random princesses, like the Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella. You know, whoever, like, something happens and they need to be brought back to life or woken up or whatever. We get it. We don't need to be told that. But in the first episode, they did. But the conflict in the show, is that one of the first victims of the crime that he was trying to solve was a friend of his that he knew when he was 10, a girl that he was in love with and was always in love with and still was, but he had never seen her again since they were 10. So he brought her back to life and left her alive. The only problem is now, if he ever touches her again, she'll die forever.
Oh.
So they're in love with each other, but they can't do, literally, they cannot do anything. But the writing is really good, and the scenes, the way it's shot, is really good, that it's really believable. You see the tension, and you see how depressing it is for both of them to not be able to touch each other, at all, in any way. You know, they can't hold hands, they can't hug, they can't do anything. And it's really well done. And I really like the dark fairy tale mood of it, because it really does. It's like Big Fish.
Yeah.
It really seems like that. The characters are exaggerated, they're kind of fairy tale characters, but the way they fit into the real world. And it's really, I was really surprised at how good it was.
Sounds like a cool
film. But one of the problems is that there's every 2 minutes worth of show, there's 5 minutes worth of commercial.
Oh.
Especially in the second half of the show, and that's really frustrating. It's one of the reasons why, people are just going to TiVo it or wait till the DVDs come out. And because of that, these shows aren't going to last, because not enough people are going to be watching them and talking about them, even though they really deserve to.
I think they're probably just going to start getting rid of television completely and start having episodes made only for internet and download episode by episode.
And everything on demand,
Everything on demand, everything straight to DVD. Which I think...
Once they go completely over to high def and digital, that'll be easier to do.
Yeah.
But you still got to have your networks, because the networks are still big business, so they still have to have something. But that's all going to be game shows and reality TV again.
Yeah. Well, I think they're, once everything becomes a little more digitalized and more easily acceptable on a large scale, then small-scale businesses, small-scale shows will be able to continue to exist, because there will be a dedicated base,
right,
and they don't need to get a national audience in order to keep it going.
No, because things like that, the fans of the shows will find, and they'll do stuff like this, like we're doing. They'll talk about them. They'll have all kinds of blogs and stuff about them. They'll tell all their friends to watch it.
Yeah.
And they'll do good. DVD sales are going to put them over the top.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen, because I still watching my TV and my scheduled times every now and then, but yeah, I can see that happening. People are just it's going to get to the point where just no one wants to put up with the advertising or crap anymore.
Yeah. If only there was some way where you could pay a regular fee to get additional channels that would be devoid of FCC rules and commercials. I don't know why they haven't thought of that before.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, you think they would have done that?
Could have hooked it up with special cable running to your television.
Yeah. What would they call it, though?
I don't know.
I don't know what they could call that.
I don't know. They come up with it. They got scientists that work on that stuff.
Yeah.
People with degrees.
Yes. Scientists. Yeah. And so the last thing that I'm watching is, as always, Thursday nights on NBC. The funny comedies on NBC. Although Earl hasn't been so great this season. Mm. Even though I still really like Earl. I love Jason Lee, and I really like the premise of the show. It just hasn't had it yet. And 30 Rock was much better this week, but it still annoys me that that's become their advertising forum, really. NBC is using that show to advertise everything else they do.
Mm.
Don't like that. I don't like how Jerry Seinfeld is back, because NBC is so obsessed with him and thinks that he's the only one that can do good for their network. Because during Thursday night's stuff this week, we kept seeing Jerry Seinfeld talking about his movie and playing these stupid, stupid short films that were not funny and were stupid. They really were. They weren't good. It wasn't like Seinfeld humor at all. It wasn't his stand-up humor. It wasn't the show's humor. It was just stupid. So I didn't like that. And The Office kind of drags. It's been an hour the first few weeks. Several weeks are going to be an hour. And it's really funny. I still love the show, but they drag it out a little too much.
Hmm.
But I'm still not going to stop watching it, because it's still brilliant. Steve Carell is just fantastic. I'm really looking forward to the new movie that he's in. And next year they're going to release Get Smart, which is just going to be awesome.
Yeah, I forget where I was, but I was walking down the street and somebody just had a black t-shirt with white lettering that said The Office on it. That's the most ridiculous, the stupidest t-shirt I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've seen them selling those.
Why would you wear that t-shirt?
But, I don't know, because there's no, like, really cleverness to it. It's just, oh, I watched The Office and you should too.
Yeah, you wanted to pay like $14 to advertise for a television show?
Yeah.
You wanted to eliminate that little bit of conversation from anybody you might potentially meet? Hi, my name is Ted. I enjoy watching The Office. Like, we just lost that. Or do you want to like whittle it down and only meet people who are interested in The Office? Or do you think that people are going to talk to you simply because they think you watch The Office?
Oh, you watch The Office too? You're like one of other millions of Americans?
I find that interesting. And
wow, we have so much in common. We should have sex.
Yes, that's exactly.
I'm basing this on the principle that all guys wear t-shirts in the hope of having sex with a girl.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure
they're not necessarily related. Or I'm sure all guys wear t-shirts and all guys hope to have sex with a woman. Well, for the most part.
Yeah, most. I mean, not there's anything wrong with that.
But I'm not really sure that your t-shirt is your way to go. And if a woman is going to have sex with you because of the t-shirt you're wearing, maybe you should not have sex with that woman and continue wearing the t-shirt.
Well, how do you explain the t-shirts that dudes wear that say, I like Grey's Anatomy? What's the purpose of those t-shirts? Is it because they want the world to know that they like Grey's Anatomy? No. It's because they want to find a girl that thinks they're sensitive.
Yeah.
Even though they're not, because Grey's Anatomy is crap.
Yeah, I think you could...
And it's
you could probably gauge the level of chotch present in the dude. Like if he's wearing a hat sideways and has like a polo shirt underneath the I Like Grey's Anatomy t-shirt, then I'm pretty sure he's not only a chotch, but he's got an STD that he's going to pass on to some unsuspecting woman.
Some genuine Grey's Anatomy fan that really is just looking for...
And he's really just looking for a show that's more like Scrubs.
That's right.
Yeah. And if a dude's wearing a t-shirt that says I Like Grey's Anatomy and the t-shirt is pink, then
he's looking for another class of dudes. But you know what? In that case, he probably really does like Grey's Anatomy, and there's nothing wrong with that. People are free to like crappy shows for whatever reason they choose. But if you don't actually like it and are just trying to get a chick, don't wear the t-shirt. Just try a little harder.
Yeah. Or try a little not as hard.
Yeah. And while you're at it, don't talk to me.
There's two things you need to do.
Don't look at me.
Don't wear the shirt. Don't talk to me. Starting now.
And from now on, whenever I'm in the room, you're definitely not allowed to talk.
So I spent some time with Sally this weekend, and it was pretty cool. It's always fun to hang out with her. We went to Bob Dylan concert yesterday at Eastern Michigan, and I was pretty excited for that. You know, it was going to be a lot of fun hanging out with her and her family. It was her mom's birthday, so her mom and dad and brother went. And it was cool. We got there, you know, no problem getting there. You know, people in the parking lot weren't jerks. They actually had security and like campus police directing traffic, so you didn't have to stop in the middle of the street and yell to some guy like, hey, where do we park, you know, like when you go downtown for a baseball game or something.
Yeah,
they were actually showing you, okay, this one's closed now, so come this way, and everybody was, and it worked. And then when we got out, they were doing the same thing, go this way and you get out and there's the expressway. It was amazing, and people were really good spirited and good tempered, so it was good. I mean, the whole atmosphere was really good. Everybody was excited, you know. Elvis Costello, Bob Dylan. It was going to be amazing. And I was really excited mostly for Elvis Costello because he's one of my all-time favorites. And it was also going to be really cool because, hey, I get to say that I saw Bob Dylan. But we got there. We got there a little late because everybody was coming from work. So, you know, we kind of had to rush. But the opening band was still playing. And he was pretty good. He was really good. He was kind of folky, folk rock kind of, I guess it's, he's been touring with Elvis Costello. His name was Amos Lee, I think. But he had a band, and it was good. It was really good. And then Elvis Costello came out after him. And it was cool because there was just a, like, 5 minutes break between the two of them, just for the roadie to bring out Elvis Costello's 5 guitars, because Elvis Costello was there solo. And Elvis Costello played 6 songs.
That's it?
6 songs. He opened...
Did 5 guitars for 6 songs?
Yeah. And he only played, like, 2 of them. He opened with The Angels Want to Wear My Red Shoes. So right there, you know, that's a high-energy song. I'm like, all right, this is going to be awesome. He's going to do these songs. He's going to do, like, his classic stuff. But it's just going to be him playing his guitar. And every, you know, song after that, he did Radio Sweetheart, he did Veronica, and then he was done. 6 songs and he was done. He didn't sing Allison, which is perfect for a solo show.
Yep.
He didn't do, he did a little political stuff, like he made some references to there being an election, and, he did What's So Crazy About Peace, Love, and Understanding. What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. But, you know, again, great song, high energy, perfect crowd for it. You know, with the being majority being like college kids. And it was great. I mean, the 6 songs that he played were fantastic. It was really good. But when he was like, all right, thank you. Be back soon. Hope to see you soon. Bye. What? That's it? Seriously, that's it? So I honestly was really upset after that. I was really feeling kind of down because that was kind of the point that I went. You know, the reason that I went there. So then there's another break. It was longer because they had to set up the full band because Bob Dylan was there with his band. And then he comes out. First song he played was Everybody Must Get Stoned. Again, perfect crowd for it. Everybody cheered at the word stone because, you know, haha, we're in college, let's get stoned. And it was really cool. Bob Dylan's voice, not so great. Like, it's pretty bad, but I knew that. I knew that going in, but I really wanted to see Bob Dylan because the music is really good. It's Bob Dylan. You know, how could I turn that down? He played his guitar on that first song, and that was it. He played a keyboard for the rest of the night. He was off to the side of the stage. He didn't acknowledge the crowd at all. He was playing his keyboard, and he was playing really obscure honky-tonk songs. They all sounded the same. You know, I go, like, I know his voice is going to be bad, but I'm going to know these songs, so I'll know what he's saying. I can sing along in my head, but I can listen to some awesome music. The music was all that twangy, like, country honky-tonk stuff. It all ended with that stereotypical, like, country song ending, like, where the guitars go, like, I don't know how to do it, but if you heard it, you would... Yeah, basically that. That's how every song ended. And he didn't even play guitar. And I don't like honky-tonk. I'm trying to just listen to the music because, you know, I'm not going to pay too much attention to his voice. And I didn't like it. I don't like that sound. It wasn't good. So we actually left before the encore because there was really no point to staying. It was really disappointing. And maybe, you know, maybe he came out and did like another 2 hours of all of his classic rock stuff. But I really doubt it. It was kind of sad. A lot of people seemed pretty disappointed and upset. The crowd seemed a little agitated at that point. People were, like, yelling for songs that they wanted to hear, which, of course, doesn't matter because we're sitting up in the cheap seats and you can't hear. You probably can't hear anything in any way. And it was really disappointing. Because it seemed perfect. Like, everything else about the night was just perfect. But the show was not the centerpiece of the night.
Yeah, I actually went to a really good concert this past week.
Yeah?
Yeah, I saw Wilco in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lady friend took me to Milwaukee to go see to see Wilco.
Sweet.
And it was definitely the opposite of your experience.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, I didn't know that much of Wilco. But they definitely played for like an hour and a half. And after that they did 2 additional encores. And the second of which was just the lead singer coming out and playing a song by himself.
That's awesome.
And then the rest of the band came out and joined him for a 3rd encore.
Yeah, I've seen times like that where just the lead singer comes out and it's like, now I'm going to just play a song that I really love that's really personal to me. Even if it's not one of the songs that he wrote, even if it's a cover of a song that like he grew up listening, It's really good. That's actually my first concert, my first ever concert way back in the 90s was Matchbox 20. That was such a great show because that had Soul Asylum, Semisonic, and Matchbox 20 were the headliners. Mm. And that's when Matchbox 20 had yourself or some... No, that's Semisonic. What was the name of that? What was it, Yourself or Someone Like You? Was that Matchbox 20 or is that Semisonic? I don't know, but it was that first Matchbox 20 album, and that was really all they had, so they played pretty much every song, like, in the same order. But it was really good. It was a really good show, and he came out at the end, Rob Thomas, right? Rob Thomas?
Yeah.
Yeah, came out at the end by himself, just playing an acoustic guitar, and it was really good. But, Semisonic, like for that show, Semisonic was the show that I went there for, the part of the show that I really went there for, and that was awesome because that was kind of like literally overnight after that, they kind of exploded on the scene. Like suddenly everyone knew who they were, and they were on MTV all the time. Their songs were being played on the radio, so that was really cool.
Cool.
Yeah, and then today we hung out some more, and do you know what geocaching is?
Do you need to be 18 or over to get in?
No.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
People go and like hide things like out in parks and stuff, like in the woods, like little McDonald's toys and stuff, and then they put the coordinates. The GPS coordinates for them, and then they go. There's a website. I'll post a link to it. It's geocaching.com, but I'll post a link in our notes. And they leave clues and like riddles and stuff, and then you have to go out to these parks. You find one in your area and take a GPS thing and go find them. So that's what we did today, and it was kind of interesting. I felt kind of silly, like looking around a park for like a Tupperware container that had stuff in it that we were supposed to find. Like, whenever someone would walk by with their dog, I felt a little awkward. Like, hey, we're not doing anything. We're just hanging out. But I learned something amazing about Rotary Park. Amazing?
There's only one thing I know about Rotary Park, and it's not amazing.
We're not going to talk about that. We no. There's an Ent there.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what kind of tree it is, but... Apparently, like, trees that look like, you know, legs and arms and faces are actually called Ents. I don't know if it comes from Lord of the Rings or if it's, the word, like, goes back farther and he just took it, or if it's, you know, one of the things that is part of our language now because of Lord of the Rings. But, yeah, in Rotary Park there is one. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I was in awe of it. It's so cool. And it really does look like it's alive. It's just awesome. Hopefully, I should be able to get some pictures of it to post.
Awesome.
Because it was just... That's where one of the things was supposed to be hidden, but we couldn't find it, so someone probably, like, stole it. Because one of the problems is that people, like, go to these parks and drink, and like, oh, we're just going to take this crap, we're not going to pay attention to what it's actually about. But when you actually find stuff and then leave something of your own, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
It's really, really interesting.
And you update the site and say, we found it. It was really cool.
Yeah.
There's something else there.
And there's a notebook, like, in the box with the stuff that you find. So you write, like, who you are and, like, what number trip it is, like, how many of these you've done and where you're from and who's with you and stuff. And the one that we found today, there were people from Massachusetts that were in the book.
Weird.
Yeah. So it's, like, this big thing all over the country, apparently. It was fun. It was interesting. But yeah, that's been my weekend. It's been pretty cool. And I feel like it's Sunday today because, you know, I went out yesterday on Friday, so like that felt like Saturday, so this feels like Sunday. So tomorrow, which is actually Sunday, is going to feel like a free day.
I love when that happens.
Yeah. Oh, I got to talk about the horrible thing though that happened yesterday. The power supply in my computer exploded.
Exploded?
It exploded. Remember, I was telling you I was playing that game, and the computer, every time I would play it, the computer, like, shut down?
Yeah.
Well, it did that again, and I just left. I'm like, you know what, it's late, I'm not going to turn it back on, I'll just deal with it tomorrow. So I get home from work yesterday, and my dad tells me, hey, your computer isn't turning on. I'm like, oh, crap, something happened, because I knew, like, it had shut down, whatever. So I try to turn it on. Yep, it's not turning on. I opened it up, made sure all the cables were tight and connected and everything was still together. It was. Posted it back up, plugged it back in, turned all the power on, hit the power button. There was a bright white flash and a loud pop from the power supply. So yes, it literally exploded. But I took it this morning. I took it to the computer repair place that I go. I told them, like, you know what, my power supply exploded. I just want you guys, I could get one on my own and fix it, but I just want you guys to make sure for me that there aren't other problems that I need to worry about. And they, within like an hour and a half, they called me back and said, your power supply exploded. So they put a new one in, and it's actually running better because they put a better one in.
Sweet.
It still isn't putting enough power to my video cards, though. Everything else is running better, but the video cards aren't because I have two. So I have to make a decision if I just want to take one of them out for now, or if I want to get like a 700 watt power supply instead of the 550 that I have, because the 700 watt come with more cables and connectors, or I have to, there might be some free ones in here because they didn't plug the power back into both video cards, only one of them, so I'm running at like reduced video card power. And it told me, like, the thing popped up on my screen and it said that for safety, we're running your video cards at a lower power so that it doesn't explode or melt. The video cards would melt. There's not really anything on a video card that could explode, but it would, like, melt together. So I have to see if I can actually plug that one in, if they just left, didn't realize that both of them needed to be in. Or if not, I'm just going to have to get a more powerful one on my own.
Yeah, I talked to my brother on the phone last night, and he was working in the theater, and he was replacing old speakers with brand new speakers.
Yeah.
And then to test it, he was going to play a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And when he played the CD, he had everything hooked up, and one of the new speakers didn't make any sound, but definitely caught on fire. And one of the old speakers exploded and shot the cone 20 feet. So he's like,
whoops.
Yeah, I don't think that one's going to work anymore.
No, I guess it wouldn't. Very nice.
Hey.
Yay, electronics. I've never actually had something explode on me before. Stuff is shorted out, like I've been doing. I've done stuff where I've made it, like on a train track. I caused a short once when I was a kid, like it was my dad's old train track, so, you know, if you touch the connectors wrong, you'll get a shock. You get a pretty bad shock. I did that. I've done that before. That makes a really unpleasant sound and smell of burning flesh. But nothing that I've been working with has ever actually exploded. So, it wasn't very fun.
We were building an electric car for Odyssey of the Mind once. And we had a battery that would power a wagon, and it was enough power to pull or to move the wagon with a person in it.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, if you connect the positive and the negative and loop it back around to the beginning of the battery, it makes an explosion, and it burns your hands, and it creates a lot of smoke.
Yeah, I've done that before where I've messed with battery connectors to see what happens. You get a fun tingle if you use tinfoil. If you put, like, tinfoil on it, your fingers tingle, and then it starts to hurt. So you need to stop that. Yeah, electronics are fun.
So the whole thing. First it started to hurt, and then it hurt.
Right on.
Don't whiz on the electric fence!
When nature's calling, don't be stalling, use your common sense. Before you let it flow, find a place to go, just don't whiz on
the electric fence.
Alright, now I guess we've come to the end of another show. Show two, like I said at the beginning, I guess that's a pretty good feeling. We actually have shows with countable numbers now.
Yes.
We're doing this for real. I guess.
Yes, yes.
That's great. So, we've got some good response so far. I want to see more, though. I want to see more people leaving us comments at our podcast blog, which is at somethingsomethingpodcast.blogspot.com. So everybody that's listening should go there and leave us some comments. Talk about things that we talked about, whether you agree or disagree, doesn't matter, just say something. Give us ideas for topics that you want to hear, or if you want any more details on them, or just things that you want to complain about or rant about or talk about. If we like them, we'll talk about them. I think coming up, I'm going to do a solo show, just a little short show, because I have a new recorder, a new portable MP3 recorder that I really want to try out. So for that one, I will address some of the comments and questions that have already been asked of me, either on the blog or in email. And we'll see how that works. Hopefully Xenu has a segment coming up for us soon, because those are a lot of fun. You people seem to enjoy those, so we're going to keep them coming. And I think that's all I have to say. Cal, you have anything to add?
Pretty much it.
All right, cool. Check out our blog. No song this week, because I fear that we're kind of running long, and we're going to try to keep it relatively simple with our length. But maybe we won't. If we need a long show, we're going to have a long show. If we need a short one, it'll be short. We'll just see what happens. All right.
Cool.
Cool. See you guys next time.
Peace.